Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And as ever, we're joined by Dave the Vegan. How are we doing, Dave?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Good stuff. So, boys, let's not mess about. I know that we've only got a short time to get this podcast in, as Chewy, your Wi-Fi at your mum's house isn't the best because you're over in England. And
full family trip.
It could cut out at any point. And vegan's got to get off as well. So,
what are you getting off to, Dave?
Getting off to London.
Getting off to London. Fair enough.
Mr. Rooney. First couple of games. Thoughts?
Not great. It's all a little bit depressing, isn't it? I think at the moment. Everything surrounding the club, it's a far cry from a few weeks ago.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a happy place at the moment, does it? It's unfortunately, one of my fears was that, and I think we mentioned this on the podcast last week, or the last, was it last week? It was only last week. It's only been a week, fucking hell. One of my fears was that he comes in and tries to completely overhaul everything and goes everything out, everything that you've done, get out, right, we're going to start completely afresh. And whilst it's not totally renewed, I think we've overdone it on what we've tried to do, a whole new system, a different mentality, and it's resulted in the players apparently turning round and telling him that they're not comfortable to play that way.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully he's actually done this quite early on in the process and went in there after the whole game and said, like, are you comfortable doing this? And they've been honest enough that a few of them have been honest enough to speak up and say no. It's great that this has happened this early on because it could have gone for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's also good that he's listened because, you know, he could have just completely doubled down, stuck to his principles and made them do it. And we could have been in all sorts of trouble.
I mean, that remains to be seen on quite how much he's listened and is prepared to change things.
We'll find out. We'll probably find out tomorrow, won't we? But well, as it stands,
absolutely.
As it stands, they can't continue to set up and try and play that way. Certainly, along this stretch of games, which we've all said is a tough stretch of games. They look really uncomfortable. We look absolutely wide open. We're not creating anything going forward. They just look very disjointed. Trying to sort of identify patterns of play is really, really difficult. Everybody just looks so uncomfortable. And that obviously translates into the stadium, into the fans as well. And the fans, I don't know, you guys were there. I wasn't. I was watching it on TV. But for me, the atmosphere seemed like completely flat as well from
I wasn't
where
there,
I was so on the sofa. You weren't there. So
I was on the sofa. I was dadding on Wednesday night, unfortunately. Well, fortunately, maybe.
I was there, and you know, it was interesting because, you know, when Rooney walked out, he got a great, you know, great response. You know, people chanting his name. They actually felt a bit of excitement around there. But you know, when that first goal went in, the mood just absolutely changed, and it was almost toxic in its sort of, you know, the vitriol at half time and then on the final whistle as well. But let's not forget, I mean, it was absolutely fucking dog shit.
Well, sadly, I think I sort of predicted that on last week's podcast when I'd said it, if we lost at Middlesbrough, then there was going to be, it could be like a, I don't know what the word is, but a horrible atmosphere at home to Hull. Ultimately, like you said, that it wasn't like that to begin with. But then as soon as we'd gone behind, there was just, I don't think the football helped. The fact that we just don't look like we know what we're doing.
I think, you know, if you look at that, you know, the goal, which arguably was Longello's, you know, defensive fuck up, even besides that, that was just papering over the cracks of what was just a woeful performance. You know, a non-existent midfield, Sanderson just looking completely, you know, in another place. So I know it's easy to kind of look at that first goal and how things may have been different if, you know, because we, you know, we had been creating some good chances, you know, before that. But after that, it just, you know, it was almost, you know, former era kind of styles and reactions.
I'll tell you what, we've had lots of opinions. Everyone's got an opinion at the moment. So we put out a request for some 15-second opinions. Let's have a listen to them.
15-second opinion.
Well, I'd say Wayne's lost Sir Bobby on Saturday's first game, then Bill Kenroy today on his second game, and it's his birthday. So keep right on.
Rooney is an egotistical, stubborn blockhead. But hey, our Google SEO rankings are through the roof. And they've talked about us for multiple segments on Talk Sport. Even the annoying guy in the morning that won't wear a baseball cap or put headphones on because he has to wear like a vest and a three-piece suit and look cool. He's too good for it. Like, he tries to have a hairstyle and everything. Get out of here with that. Oh, wait, this is past 15 seconds, isn't it?
Hi, lads. Yeah, it hasn't been a great start for Rooney, but the two poor performances are nothing new. We've been poor on five or six other occasions this season, which is an extension of the terrible run we had between Christmas and the end of last season. Instead of trying to paper over the cracks, Rooney's trying to instill a new, positive style of play. It may work, it may not, but if it does, it will take time. Such an overreaction from some of the fans. The players have to take their share of the blame too. If you can't make a simple three-yard pass, control a ball, or win a header, you shouldn't be a footballer. It's as simple as that. So let's just have a bit of patience. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but at least give it time. Keep right on.
Rooney sucks, but we knew he was gonna suck. But it sucks that he sucks so bad. He puts his first lineup out there, and all of a sudden Stansfield is off to the side, and Miyoshi is not on the field, and Dembele is not on the field, and Hogan's back on the field, or the pitch, excuse me, I'm an American, you have to forgive me. And of course, the last five times Hogan had played, I don't think we scored. And you put Hogan back in there, and guess what? We didn't score again. He didn't play him this time. We didn't score again. But all I know is the last week that Rooney was not the manager, we played 3 hours of football and scored 7 goals. And now that Rooney is the manager, we've played 3 hours of football and scored no goals and looked like total, complete shit in the process.
Hi, guys. Bit deflated today. A bit of a mess Mr. Cook's made of the whole situation with the fans and the club and the players especially. I suppose we've got nothing else but to support Rooney and hopefully he can turn it around now the players have told him they don't know how to play his system. But really down at the moment. Yeah, keep it right on, boys.
Hi, lads. Really enjoy the podcast. It's Alex Hurley here from St. Caulfield, Alex James on Twitter. Yeah, don't think Eustace should have gone. Find it inexplicable. They've replaced him with somebody with basically the same track record. Since Rooney's been in, I've just not seen anything that gives me any faith that he's really going to be up to the job. I really, really hope he proves me wrong, but I can't see it. For me, it feels like Zola all over again. I know it's an easy comparison to make. If anything, it feels a little bit worse, but we'll see. Time will tell. Up the Blues.
Unfortunately, after watching the last two performances, clear that we can't play the no fear football. So, lads, until Rooney makes a couple of adjustments and we trust in the project, can you fucking send me to Cornella and I'll fucking come back and watch him? Keep right on.
But, you know what? Everybody's talked about. Man, oh man, the YouTube views, dude. Oh my word. The views on YouTube, man. Oh, the club shop. Oh, dude, how many scarves have we sold? Oh, fuck tons, actually. A metric fuck ton of scarves have been sold by people who previously would have sworn their whole lives they were going to be Manchester United fans. But look, What's cool about it is that, well, no, there's fucking nothing cool about it. It's fucking stupid. Sorry I went too long.
As ever, thank you all for sending in your 15-second opinions. It's great to hear from you, especially our American cousins who sent in a 15-minute opinion, I think he sent in. 15 seconds.
Seconds are different times over there.
Is it like imperial and metric?
Yeah.
And it transfers differently in time over there. Is that right?
Something like that.
Oh, so does that mean that they were only playing 90 seconds when Rooney was at DC United? 90-second games, 45-second halves.
It's either that or it's the opposite way around, where it's actually playing for 90 years out there.
90 days. 90-day games. I mean, there's a lot to take it, and there's very mixed opinions as well, as we've seen on social media and everywhere. Everyone's got differences in opinions. For me, I wasn't happy about the previous manager. I'm not gonna keep going on about it and going back to it. We've got to move forward now. I wasn't happy about the choice, but we've got to move forward now. We support Blues. Ultimately, we support Blues. We don't support the manager. You back the manager because he's in charge of the team. If it gets to a point where it goes completely tits up, then be vocal about it. Two games in is not fair. As shit as it's looked, it's not fair two games in my opinion. Give him a chance. Yes, I think he's come in and he's gone about it completely the wrong way. And he needs to reassess, as we've already mentioned, that it looks like he might do. Give him now a couple of games to see that they can get the best out of the team that they're working with. Then review it going forward.
So do you think, you know, give us some positives from the last two games then, or the whole game? You know, is there anything we can take from those?
We only conceded 3 goals.
I know that's kind of tongue in cheek, but it's true. I don't really see any positives to take from that. I'd say one thing actually: Cody Dramay against Hull. That was probably his best game for us, I think, which, you know, does pretty make much of a difference when the other 10 players on the pitch are playing pretty terribly. But other than that, there was nothing, absolutely nothing to take from either of those games, in my opinion.
No.
Nothing positive at all.
I agree. I put it on social as well. And I said that, and I'll say it now, if we continue to play like we were, I don't see where the next goal is coming from, let alone points. We look open. We look like we're going to concede goals, and we don't look like we've got an attacking threat. And early on, maybe we had a few opportunities, but we don't really look like scoring. It's very few and far between, I think, over both games. I just think it needs a massive reshuffle back to what it was. And I don't know if they can do that. What I would have done on Thursday morning after the game, I'd have got all the players in, I'd have gone in for a 2-minute meeting and I said, right, everyone, express yourself. Tell us how you feel about what's going on. Tell us how you think you should be playing, what we should be doing, and formulate a plan as a team, as a collective unit, not so much players, but how the squad want to play. Get an idea on paper, get some of Rooney's ideas in there, so maybe tweak it a little bit so that everyone's comfortable. Go into this Saturday's game and look like a unit, look like we actually know what we're doing, everyone's comfortable. And, you know, if we can stop the rot of a couple of defeats, it might improve us going forward. And then you can start building on things. And then over weeks, Rooney can come in and he can go, right, I want us to start doing this. We're going to implement this small, bit by bit, small changes, not everything all in one go. That's what I hope that they've done for this week, that they've cleared the air and that everyone's on the same page. Whether they have or not, I don't know.
Spot on, really. I saw someone say, I think it was Coop, actually, and I think he does listen to the podcast. So I think he said something about evolution, not revolution. And that, for me, that's nail on the head. Like, we don't need, it really didn't need to come in here and just change everything. One of the problems is that that statement from Cook that mentioned no fear football is just turned into a big, massive, shitty baseball bat to beat Rooney with and the club with.
Can I jump in there, actually? Ryan Deeney, I don't know if you read it, but Ryan Deeney put a post out. Really interesting blog. And he actually...
Oh, the article was brilliant, yeah.
He absolutely nailed it in that Cook has said no fear football, but to everyone that means something different.
Slightly different, yeah.
Yeah. So that one person's seeing no fear football, the other one isn't, and then they're seeing no fear football and they're not. And it's like, what does it mean? It's a statement that really means something different to everyone and means nothing to anyone. So it's like, what exactly is it? And there's no clarification behind it. Rooney didn't say it. No, Rooney didn't say it. But there's no clarification on it. The only thing that there was it's a winning mentality. And at the moment, yeah, we haven't got a winning mentality at all. We haven't got a drawing mentality.
No, I mean, Rooney himself said he refers to front foot football, which I kind of, for me, that's similar to no fear. I guess that's how I see it in my head. But Cook's comments in that's going to haunt them for such a long time until things get back on the right track. He probably knows that now. At the time, he probably didn't really feel like that was a big issue, but obviously you get off to a start like this and it's going to keep being brought up constantly, and it's going to annoy people. People are going to get annoyed by other people constantly referring to it. But Cook put himself and the club in the position by doing that. It's one of his classic, and this is only a minor one, it's a classic Cook PR gaffe that he's been well known for throughout his career, despite all the success he's had. Back to on the pitch, it doesn't need to change like too much from where it was before. Just implement things over time. You've got a January transfer window where you can maybe bring in one or two other players to, you know, they'll be more comfortable adopting the style you want to. Make sure you have a fairly decent finish to the season and then spend all your pre-season working on it. This is half the problem, is he's come in and tried to put forward this style of play with a week, 2 weeks. If it had a whole of a pre-season, if they got rid of John Eustace in the summer and they gave Rooney a whole pre-season, maybe things would have been slightly different. Not saying they would have, but you can't just come in and do it.
It's the time to do it, isn't it? When you've got, you'd make big changes when you've got 2 months to put some changes into place. Not when you've got, I don't know, 5 days, 6 days, and you haven't got your coaches there for most of that time either. So my feeling is that it's not Cook that's pushing this, it has to change now. I feel that this is Rooney having to live up to that, or feeling that he has to live up to it. Right, we're going to do this.
Well, he said in his press conference, after the game on Wednesday, that the club and Gary Cook have give him a style of play. They want him to, no, a time frame. They want him to implement this style of play within. So there is some form of pressure from above. Now, we don't know what that time frame is, because he didn't say what the time frame was. And obviously, if anyone asked him, he wouldn't have answered anyway. But there's obviously some form of pressure from above.
I can't imagine this. I can't imagine that that was right. Next game when he came in.
I get that. Obviously, it's not next game, but you know, I'm going to say it again. It needs to evolve over time. And I can't remember who it was that said it. He said, we just have to have patience. We know that. We've said that. We said that actually when John Eustace was in charge in the summer, when we want to try and improve the style of play, be better on the ball. We were moving in that direction anyway. We just had to have patience. We have to have patience now as well. Get that. Don't agree with the comment about having 5 or 6 poor performances. I think there was probably 2, 3 maximum at the start of the season. I think we've been pretty good throughout most of this season up until these last 2 games. But yeah, I mean, again, have patience, but the fact that Cook's actually spoken about this no fear football has kind of made, it's kind of given fans a bit more of a shorter leash with this, I think, if you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I do. I think as fans though, we've just got to say, right, don't expect straight away. And I don't think the club can expect straight away if you want to implement it. And I think we have got to have a bit of patience. But I think Rooney himself needs to have a bit of patience, as we've spoken about.
Well, so what I will say is I saw a lot of people, there's a bit of a, obviously there was a lot of booing at halftime and at full time. And then obviously the abuse that he got, which, you know, we've all said, bang out of order, that abuse is, as he was walking down the tunnel. You shouldn't do that anyway. And you certainly shouldn't be doing it to your new manager after only 2 games. I don't have a problem with booing at halftime and booing at full time on the whistle, right? Because you've paid your money, you're in the stadium, you're disappointed. That's fair enough, right? I think you should be able to boo. I don't care if he's been in for 2 minutes, 2 games, 20 games. Like, you think it's your right to boo if you want to. I'm not necessarily saying that I would do that, but I don't have a problem with it. But just draw the line there. At the final whistle, then clap the players off if you want to, or leave. You don't need to give them or the manager abuse as they walk down the tunnel.
No, so you're saying there's never any time for it, and there's probably not. But I can understand it when we were in the situation with Steve Cottrell, and there'd been all that shit that had gone on back and forth between fans, and he was riling people up. And I think it was Barnsley away where it nearly kicked off by the tunnel. I can understand it then, because even I was fucking fuming. I didn't go down and like rant and rave at him where some people did. But I can sort of understand where those people were coming from. But Rooney's done nothing, nowhere near that. He's had 2 games where his plan hasn't worked, and there's absolutely no reason for it. It's completely out of order. It's absolutely bang out of order. I was going to say the other thing that I wanted to mention was people referring to this as Zola 2.0 or Zola 2, whatever. I actually think it's completely different. The scenario of a change of manager was similar. They want their own guy and whatever. However, under Zola, he came in. We were really unlucky in some of his opening games. We played some really good stuff. It's a complete opposite from what's happening now. We're not even playing some good stuff. It's like we don't look, some of the players don't look like they've ever played football before.
Yeah, you could see what they were trying to do under Zola for those first few games, but he didn't have the players to implement it. Eventually, he did change course and just ended up going 4-5-1 and just lobbing it forward. I think was it Gardner or David Davis playing behind Duke? Yeah,
He had Davis as a 10 for a little while, and left winger as well.
That's right, yeah. You know, that took him a little while to get to that point when, you know, he had to change his principles a bit towards the end of his tenure. So he changed his principles. Yeah, he did. Rooney isn't going to change his principles, but he is going to try and hopefully based on comments in the post-match press conference, he's going to try and move to where he wants to go a little bit of a more agreeable pace for the players. One thing I will say, and I saw a lot of people talking about this, there was so many comments online that the players couldn't give a shit. They were quite happy to throw Rooney under a bus. They weren't trying. I think that's utter bullshit. And it's because, oh, you could tell by their body language. A couple of their heads dropped. But I saw people slagging off Sanderson and someone slagging off Bakuna for not trying. He went round trying to kick people for the majority of the game. He was probably quite lucky he didn't get sent off, to be fair. He could. There was one or two occasions where he could have been booked for fouls, and he obviously got booked for dissent. Then there's a few people that were moaning about Bielik, but he was kind of left on an island on his own and was, you know, didn't really have anybody to close enough to him to be effective. The front three just were foraging, like, just seemed to be doing, you know, they were making runs and they're running around a lot, but not really having any effect on the game. I don't believe for one second that those guys were not trying. In fact, in some cases, I think they were maybe trying too hard. So I don't subscribe to that view. And there was quite a few people that were saying that, you know, they had no interest in doing this for Rooney. You know, these are the same players that would have run through brick walls, blood, sweat, tears for John Eustace a few weeks ago. You telling me that these guys are just going to completely down tools just because Wayne Rooney's come in? I very much doubt it. We saw so many people, including ourselves, saying that the difference with playing for someone like Wayne Rooney, massive name in the game, you know, all the honours he's won, why wouldn't you want to work hard for somebody like that and prove your point? So, yeah.
My view on that is they are trying. They absolutely are trying. But, okay, you go to work in a car factory, you work on a car track. For the whole of your time in this car track, you're there for 6 months and you're working on fitting the seats. Then all of a sudden, a guy comes in and he goes, right, today you're fitting the engine. I haven't got a fucking clue what I'm doing. Okay, yeah, but you're fitting the engine today. There you go. This is a piece of paper. Look, that's what you do. Go and fit it. Oh, I've got no fucking idea. Well, too late. You're out of there now. Okay. So I'm there with the engine and the track and everything is coming towards me. I'm like, okay, shit. What do I do? It's going to affect my performance massively because I've got no fucking idea. Like, I'm so new to this, everything that's going on. I've had little or no warning to what's going on. Right. Okay. What screwdriver do I get? Shit. Okay. It's not a screwdriver. It's a wrench. I'm dropping it. I'm panicking. The 5 yard passes that people are saying they should be making, you're a footballer, you should be making it. Yeah, but I'm so fucking panicking what's going on, I'm going to make mistakes.
Definitely a confidence thing there, isn't it, as well? It's just, I don't know what else to say about it. It's just, we need to see change and we need to see something fast because the players need to feel better. And if the players are feeling better and more comfortable and, you know, we're showing some signs of life, the fans will start to feel better and more comfortable and start to give the team and Rooney more backing. I'm not saying that we shouldn't give them any backing if we don't see any signs of life. Like we've already said, like, we will always back the management, back the team until, you know, it's impossible that we can't. We've lived through people like Lee Clark and Karanka, Steve Cockerell, you know.
Cockerell.
Cockerell. We've lived through those, right? You know, those people have been backed until we've not been able to. Lee Bowyer was another one that came in, did really well. It got to a point where it was becoming more and more difficult to back him because of the way he spoke to the press, the way he spoke about the players, just the performances on the pitch, you know, We've just got to back the players and the manager at the moment and hope that they can implement or go back to something a little bit more similar to what they're doing before, so he can slowly evolve this style of play.
Now, one of the other thing that's gone on this week, Neil Moxley from the Mirror has, to be blunt, I got blocked. he put out an article on Twitter and, posted first, but then shared on Twitter about the reaction to Rooney's first home game. Basically said, it'll go down as the shortest project in English football history. The project. says some other stuff about Rooney arriving, no fear football mentioned a few times, and being trumpeted by the latest bunch of Yankee owners looking to turn a quick buck. And then it goes on. And I think the negative tone towards the owners actually really detracts from some really good points that are made in there. It's just the overall tone that it's given just shits on what's been done at the club completely. And I know that people, we've spoke about it, we've heard from people in the 15-second opinions and whatever, and you just like take on board that what's going on at the club and what's been done. He seems very bitter, and I don't know what the reason is.
Controversial opinions to a deadline.
He's obviously we've had him on the podcast in the past. He's by his own admission, he's quite. I think he's quite.
I'm not sure that he'll be coming back.
You're blocked, Chris. We won't be able to hear you. So he's quite an emotional guy, and I think sometimes I feel like that can get in the way of his opinion, because you're right, there were a lot of good, very good points within that article that he wrote, but there was no real reason to try and dig out the owners in the way that he did. Now, we understand that he had some involvement with maybe an earlier bid for the club, and maybe he potentially could be upset that that hasn't been involved, that didn't go through in the end. But he needs to be he made loads of good points. He just needs to take a step back and have a think about what he's saying there.
Yeah. I mean, he sits in the press room. He can see the difference.
Yeah.
In there. We've all seen it. He can see it. He sees it better than anyone because he gets that backstage access. We can see the stadium and what it's done and like how good things are looking from the outside in terms of what good they have done. Now, I don't even think that it's the Americans that have come in and gone, yeah, we want Rooney. This is Gary Cook advising him, in my opinion, Gary Cook advising them and saying, I've got a connection to Rooney. You've all heard of Rooney. He's a big name. He could be this great manager. He's an up-and-coming manager. Da 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 da. He can take us forward.
So they've gone. Telling me. So go on, carry on.
They've turned around and they've gone, right, are you sure? Yes, we trust you then. You are our guy that's advising us on the project. Okay, bring him in. I don't think that Tom Wagner has gone, I want Wayne Rooney. I can't imagine that that's the way that it's gone down at all. And in fact, I'd possibly suggest that Wagner might have even been a bit hesitant in changing manager with how things were going. But I don't know that. It wouldn't surprise me. But
well, they've put Gary Cook in a place of trust, haven't they? In fact, that he, being a football man, and the fact he's obviously has Birmingham roots, et cetera, and there's probably a level of trust there, despite the fact he's had some errors throughout his career. Also a lot of success. But Cook obviously just forgot to mention to Wagner that the only reason Wayne Rooney's got a job at the club is because he lost a game of golf to Paul Stretford, and that was part of the bet. So that if you lose, you have to give Rooney a job as manager at Birmingham City, and it happened. Allegedly. No, I'm joking. I don't. Maybe it did. Maybe it did. I don't know. I'd like to think that would be... Do I like to think that? It'd be quite funny if that was the case. But, you know, it's...
Well, would it? It'd be typical Blues if that was the case.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it was Daniel Ivory at Armageddon that said to, in a conversation with us, that there's so much nepotism that runs through football that it is a lot of about who you know, who you're friends with. If you're comfortable working with X, Y, and Z, then why wouldn't you bring in to work with you? Because, you know, they trust you, you trust them. I get it. Craig Gardner did it with a lot of people, didn't he, when he brought a number of members of staff in prior to the new owners coming in. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it was Wagner's choice, but they've put a lot of trust in Cook to make that decision.
Yeah. Well, he's avoiding narrowly this.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
Yeah, Mox, you're not going on holiday to Cornea. I'm not giving you the satisfaction. Chewy, you've got someone that you wanted to send?
I just think that I think everyone's seen that video by this point. And if you haven't, we mentioned it earlier. The chap that was giving Rooney the abuse, we don't need to repeat what he said, what it was saying to him, but bang out of order, that the dude that was shouting at Rooney going down the tunnel, you're off to Cornea, mate.
Aye, 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 send him to Cornea.
Brummy joke, can we have an intro, please?
It's Lone Watch.
So a quick update on the old Lone Watch.
Not much going on, is there?
Not really, no. Nico Gordon is back in the Solihull Moor squad, although he hasn't played after his Nicaraguan experience. Josh Williams has unfortunately been dropped by Cheltenham, so he hasn't featured the last few games, not since their EFL Trophy game. Not quite sure what's happening there because I don't think he's injured. I haven't seen any injuries based on the Cheltenham website reports that I was reading. Josh Andrews still playing, still getting plenty of game time there. Sounds like he's doing pretty well.
No goal this week, though, no?
No goal this week. I think they did win a couple of games, though. And Tate Campbell is still missing. So I'm searching all around Bromley for him, but can't find him anywhere.
Oh, it's Lone Watch!
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys.
Right, gents. We've talked about Wednesday and our thoughts on that. How do we think Saturday is going to pan out against Southampton?
I think it's... we're back to like an unknown. If he hadn't have said that he'd spoken to the players and that they'd got opinions and stuff, I think I'd have just been no hope. But I have a little hope that they're going to take things on board and they're going to discuss it together. Southampton are hit and miss. Haven't lost in a few games. Haven't lost in a few games, but they are hit and miss. I think. If we go not back to basics, but back to what we can, how we have been playing this season and how we can play, there's every chance that we can nick something. I'm not totally disheartened. In fact, I'm probably more, what's the word? More hopeful now. After hearing that they're taking on board the players' opinions, I'm more hopeful that we're going to go out and get something. Definitely than I was after full time the other night.
So hopeful, but maybe not 4-0 hopeful.
4-0's a gun, mate. come on. We left them a long time ago. Lots changed.
I mean, for me, it's, you're right. Southampton have had a decent run of form over the past few weeks. So they haven't lost for a little while. I think they beat Leeds 3-1 towards the end of last month, and then since then they've been unbeaten.
But then drew with Rotherham, drew with Preston, beat Hull. Their last defeat, they lost to Middlesbrough. So they've in the last few games, they've had Middlesbrough and Hull.
And actually, the Southampton Preston game was they'd actually equalised in like the 96th minute in that one, and I think it was an own goal as well. So, but they absolutely dominated possession. Like, obviously, that's how they set up to play. That's the way Russell Martin likes. They like to dominate possession, 500, 600 passes. For me, if we were under the previous manager, let's not refer to all time. I think like the way that he sets up and organises, and he would want us to press them from the very front. I'd probably feel a little bit more confident about this game because we're going into it as an unknown. Like obviously the last two games we've seen, not very impressive. Then it's obviously the comments he's made in the post-match press conference. How far back are they going to step? Because he was talking about we're not pressing aggressively enough and we're not fit enough and stuff like that, which I find bizarre. Southampton are there to be got at. Yes, they can absolutely slice you and dice you, and you know they could end up scoring a number of goals if they've got their if they finish better than both Hull and Borough did. But I'm kind of like you. Like there's a little bit of me that feels, I wouldn't say confident. Confident? I feel like we might be able to get something from this. A little bit of hope. I feel like we might be able to get something from this game if we are set up correctly. And I think it's going to probably come from us winning the ball very, very high up the pitch, with them knocking it around at the back. I think it'll be trying to capitalize on their mistakes, which, you know, teams have been almost doing to us over the past couple of games.
With that in mind, then we're going to get a couple of predictions in.
Have a think. Right, first of all, what in terms of lineup, what would you do? Would you make changes from Wednesday? I'm assuming you would, but what would you do?
Genuinely, I think I'd roll back to, if it's me, I'd roll back to Huddersfield, West Brom, put that double pivot back in midfield.
Bielik.
Yep, that was working so well. I think defensive line, I mean, is there a call to bring Awu into it if you want to start playing from the back a little bit more, potentially?
If you're going to do that, you're only dropping Kevin Long, aren't you? In my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I personally wouldn't. I'd go back to what we were doing well earlier in the season and how it was working better before the change in management. I think I'd probably just go Stansfield up top, Miyoshi in behind, Bakuna, and
he's suspended, I think.
Oh shit! Yes,
I think he had 5 yellows earlier
today
so...
as well. No, yeah, you're right. And Bielik's one away, I think, isn't he?
He is. Yeah.
I saw that earlier. Oh shit!
So you go with Dembele, Miyoshi, and then I guess you'd
got to be Ali Burke, isn't it?
Would he play? Would he put Donovan in there? Do you think?
At 16,
he clearly likes him, though, doesn't he? There's something there. And actually, when he came on, he did. And
I think he maybe start with Burke and then look to replace with Donovan or something. I think Burke didn't have a bad game on Wednesday. Completely,
he looked not too bad. He put a couple of decent crosses across the face of the goal in the first half, and I think it was one in the second half as well. No one on the end of it.
He looks better the other night than he did on his TikTok or on his missus's TikTok. I don't know if you've seen that.
This is another thing, like people moaning about that, right? I don't have an issue with that sort of stuff, really, if it's not affecting, unless it's really affecting the way you play. And let's be honest, It's Oliver. So.
having a little dance on TikTok, it doesn't hurt anyone, does it? Let's be honest. I mean, if you want to embarrass yourself, by all means, embarrass yourself. But it's not for me.
Yeah,
it's not for me. I would have thought they were a little bit old for doing those type of dances, but
if they're happy, they're happy. You know, they're not hurting anyone, are they?
No,
apparently there's an outside chance that.
So no, We Are Birmingham exclusive TikTok content from you, Chris.
No, I
believe that you're the TikTok guy in the We Are Birmingham.
I think we can all agree that crown falls to Mr. Ivory.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, but he loves his TikTok. There's an outside chance that Ethan Laird could be involved.
He's going to be readying.
He's trained this week, yeah. But you wouldn't bring him in for Dramay at this point in time. I know Dramay struggled the first few games, and we were quite vocal about that and got a little bit of fire for it. But he's proved his worth. He's been very, very good since that, actually. Yeah. And he was very good Wednesday, at least it was our best player, which maybe doesn't say too much. So for me, I wouldn't make changes. But is there an argument for future efforts to play both of them?
If you play Laird
further up,
as with a wing back.
Have you not seen Gareth Southgate?
Do you know what, mate? Let's not mention that. I don't enjoy watching England.
Would you want to play Ethan Laird further? You could play Ethan Laird further up to accommodate. I'm not saying do it tomorrow because it's too early to bring him back. I think he's going to need a little bit of time before he starts again. But I think there's an argument for future reference. So you could play both of them. I think I mentioned that on a previous podcast as well. I certainly spoke to other people about it.
Would you be meaning as the old Sheffield United style attacking centre back and have Dramay in that sort of role? So on the third centre back?
No, I would.
I
think you could technically do that, but we'd be more suited to probably when we have Lee Buchanan back and he'd play the left side and centre back. But no, I actually mean you could technically play, because obviously Anderson's out for quite a while, injured. You could play Laird as your right, almost like your right winger. He's good enough to play like that. And then you could tuck inside and if we're going to play this 2-3-5. Not even just, he's not really, he's more of an attack, he's more of an attacking player, isn't he?
He is, but he can defend. That was what was so impressive earlier in the season, was that he was, 1 second he was putting a ball into the box or chasing a ball down in towards the corner flag, and then the opposition go up the other end and he's back and he's defending. And he could do that, and not a lot of players can do both.
If Rooney was to bring him in, it wouldn't be for that, though, would it? It'd be for the fact that he can get forward. He's got pace. He's for a fullback or a right wing back, he's actually quite skillful. He's got very good delivery.
Yeah.
You'd use him for his attacking prowess, wouldn't you? And then you've still got, because even Dramay was tucking inside almost as a centre midfielder on Wednesday as well. Mm. So I think there's an argument that you could play them together at some point. Anyway, that's probably in a few weeks' time when we can actually get them both on the pitch at the same time.
Yeah. Right, go on then.
So
let's have a number on it.
I want to say we'll get something from tomorrow, but I think we'll lose. I think it'll be 2-1 to Southampton. So we're going to score, and I think there will be signs of life in terms of how we play and the performance, in just terms of better all-round performance from the team to at least give us some hope that things are moving in the right direction. 2-1 to Southampton.
Okay. Right, I think I'm going to go with a 1-1. I think, like you say, and this is more out of hope than anything, I hope that we're going to look like we've revolved. Is that the word?
Like evolved.
Regressed?
Regressed.
Not regressed, because that would suggest
taking a step back to take our steps.
No, gone full circle. Is that any better?
Maybe. Well, basically, I hope that we've not gone back to basics, but back to what we can do best.
Back to the blues.
Best for ourselves at the moment. Oh, no, because that's like historically shit, isn't it? Let's just something that we know this season that has worked. We go back to that and we get a 1-1 and it's a good draw. It's achievable. I mean, we might better that and I hope we do. But yeah, I think I'll go 1-1 and signs of life. Vegan?
We've talked about returning or changing slightly the style of play. And I think if we can revert slightly back to maybe the tail end of Eustace's last couple of games, where we look like a team that can score goals and were scoring goals, I think, you know, that's got to be a priority. If we can do that, if we can have more threat going forwards, I think we can get a score draw out of it. I can't see us beating Southampton, but Chris, I think I'm probably with you on something like a 1-1.
I hope so, because it'd be nice to actually get a prediction right, to be fair. But I'd be much happier if we can win it and be wrong. So, yeah, if you're travelling to Southampton tomorrow, nice early journey. Have a safe journey down. And until next time, enjoy the game and keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.